You're listening to the Hotard Huddle Podcast. Join the conversation on sports, movies, television, music, and more.
The Hotard Huddle Podcast is not responsible for any major side effects of nostalgia, fanboying, or foul language.
Bring it in for another episode of the Hotard Huddle Podcast. Mike alongside Vito, Buddy, and we got another guest joining us. We got our boy, Matt. So, dudes, it's almost WrestleMania weekend, so this is going to get published on Friday. I'm going with a quick turnaround, recording this on Thursday night, but
you're a madman.
You know, just making it happen, but it's crazy. WrestleMania season. It's almost here. The pinnacle of the WWE calendar year is almost upon us. And so this episode, we're going to talk about what's happening as far as the build up to WrestleMania. Just talk some professional wrestling. And, well, you know, I am going to get on my soapbox here to start this off because, you know, one of the things that has really transpired with professional wrestling in the last couple of years, and at one point, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I wasn't part of this, but there's this tribal mentality in the world of professional wrestling right now. And at this point in this time, I don't understand it. You know, when AEW launched in 2019, WWE had gotten so ungodly stale, and there was a need for another company to kind of come in and change professional wrestling. Enter AEW. And since then, you've seen sort of a rebirth with TNA. AEW's done a good job promoting New Japan and sort of cross-promoting with pay-per-views like Forbidden Door and even having a little bit of a resurgence with Ring of Honor. So there's options now. And for the first time in 25 years, more or less, there's options in professional wrestling. And, you know, we've seen kind of the unfolding of what happened, WWE getting Vince out, getting bought by TKO, and now we're seeing a Triple H-led WWE, which has been unbelievably fantastic. And so Edge, Adam Copeland, sorry, cut a promo this week. Rookie mistake. But Adam Copeland cut a promo this week on AEW alluding to the fact that has there been a better time to be a professional wrestling fan in recent years? And the answer is no. And I love that this promo is done on breaking kind of that fourth wall a little bit, giving the flowers to the other company without directly mentioning it. But right now, professional wrestling, in my opinion, is at a peak we haven't seen since the Monday Night Wars. And, you know, you get on the internet and you got one group shitting on AEW, one group shitting on WWE, and I'm just kind of over it. Like, just enjoy the fucking industry. It is booming.
It's really impressive and very vindicating that for years, I have been saying to everybody who'll listen that WWE would be better off when Vince McMahon is dead.
I don't know that you coined that phrase. I think CM Punk did, but I get it.
But yeah, like, it's crazy how quickly the booking picked up, how quickly the wrestling picked up. Like, it was like week one. Like, Vince McMahon did his like succession hostile takeover, coming back before he got booted again, which is very funny. Like, the first week, the first Monday Night Raw that Triple H just had the book, it was night and day. Like, obviously, you were still dealing with, like, Vince's stories, but, like, the wrestling was higher quality and in greater length. And I'm one of those, and also, I'm one of those people who personally prefer the story bits, the promos, the backstage vignettes, like, that kind of thing over the actual wrestling. I love me some actual wrestling, but, like, it's, like, 1A and 1B. But like even that got a lot better under Triple H too. And then you have AEW over here, like giving you freaking Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson, Adam Copeland versus Pentel Cerro Miedo. Like, it's impossible how good wrestling is right now. And it is annoying as hell that people cannot see that and see wrestlers get paychecks that normally with one game in town would not happen. Like, the fact that Orange Cassidy is getting a paycheck in professional wrestling right now that's not like on an independent thing is awesome. Like, that dude deserves the spotlight. There are so many people who are getting great spotlights, who are getting really good money, that would not be getting that good of money. Becky Lynch is about to become the highest paid woman in professional wrestling because of Mercedes Moné and because of Tony Khan's bottomless pay, paycheck. I don't, what is it called? Checkbook. Goddamn. Yeah. And so it's so annoying that people just can't shut the hell up and just enjoy some goddamn wrestling. I don't know if Edge should have came out and said that. I feel like that was a weird decision to have him come out and be like, we were doing it, guys. Pro wrestling is great. Well, I don't know if that was the smartest decision in the world, but the point still stands. Pro wrestling is really goddamn good right now.
I'll say this. I saw an interesting take about that earlier today, actually. And it was, would you rather Adam Copeland do that? Or would you rather Tony Khan get on Twitter and start thumb warring with people about it? And I'm just
that is a good
that's
point.
Actually valid. That's valid.
but also The Rock has been saying the same thing lately.
Yeah.
Edge say stuff.
Yeah. Well,
and that's what's great, because what the product is now, the people who are running it, Tony Khan, Triple H, they care about one thing and one thing only: professional wrestling. And so them sending off both guys is almost like sending guys out there willing to say these things on camera on their product, I think, is almost like a ceasefire without saying, hey, we're not going to take shots at one another and create a ceasefire kind of thing. And it's really cool to see, just because, again, just break the fucking tribal mentality. And like, you know, Matt said a second ago, you know, I'm in the same camp. Like, I like the vignettes. I like the promos. I like the stories that build up. And then I like watching it all come to a head, bottle exploding at the pay-per-views. That's how I like to watch professional wrestling. So this is what's happened in the last couple of months. Now that we have another option for storytelling, I feel like AEW has diverted away from the storytelling a little bit. And gone to more of this approach of, we're just going to put two guys out there who we know can fucking put on a show. And they're just going to put on a show. And I don't want to say it's meaningless matches, because there are, you know, stories that are underlying, but it's not as linear, not as compact as what's happening. But on the flip side of that, this is also peak WWE season. You know, January to April is when WWE is often at its absolute best. But it, again, there is nothing wrong with what's happening in either brand. Both are fucking fantastic, and it's awesome that there are now options, and I don't have to be like, fuck, I watched WWE this week, I wasted my time, this is so stupid, why am I here right now?
2017 to like 2019, WWE was like the worst television imaginable.
Well, dude, and even before then, I mean, I think I remember talking to you by like 2015, I was out. Like, it got to a point where I wasn't watching weekly. I was just kind of, you know, cherry picking segments. And I do that now because of how much there is available. Mm-hmm. You know, now that I've been watching Raw, SmackDown, Dynamite, Collision's almost skippable for me at this point. But, I'll kind of just cherry pick the segments I want to see from both brands, which I'm okay with that. Because again, I have options now.
There were a few weeks where me and the wife were watching Monday Night Raw, NXT on Tuesday, Dynamite on Wednesday. We had a break on Thursday, and then SmackDown on Friday. And we lasted like 2 weeks with that before we were both like, that is about 12 to 15 hours a week of our week that is just not being spent doing other things that aren't wrestling. And so now what we do, we will skip Raw. We will skip, like, if for some reason we have a problem getting SmackDown on our antenna, We'll just watch the YouTube highlights. My life is way better for it.
Did it ever reach a point because of how much wrestling you consumed where she called you tribal chief and you called her the man, though?
Only in bed.
God damn it. You stole my joke, you son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah. But no, man, it's, you know, it's funny you bring that up. And I told my wife, I was like, hey, babe, guess what? And she was like, what? I'm like, it's WrestleMania weekend. Are you excited? She was like, no, it's stupid. I'm like, well, fuck you.
Hey, that's my
you RKO'd her, huh?
Boom.
RKO out of nowhere, right on the bed. No, that wouldn't be good at this point in our lives.
For that would be a double RKO right now, right?
It would be a double RKO. Oh, this man's throwing out balloons on
happy birthday.
But no, man, it's great. So with that being said, WrestleMania weekend upon us. Running down the card, I mean, top to bottom, there really isn't many. I mean, even the quote unquote throwaway matches are going to be fucking awesome. And this is one of the best builds, one of the best cards for me since probably WrestleMania 20.
Well, look, I'm just literally getting back into watching at all. I haven't watched since like Katrina, really.
Right.
I've picked here and there. I've like, you know, Air, you know, I've seen like.
You went to WrestleMania 30 just because why not? WrestleMania
30, yeah. I think, was this crew? Was this?
Yeah, it was all of us. And then.
10 years ago, a decade ago.
Yeah, I think it was us four. I feel like there was someone else, but maybe not.
There's probably somebody else. But it was 10 years ago. So I'm just getting back into the swing of things. And I literally just went on YouTube and watched like the Bloodline storyline, so I'm caught up on that now, and that's really good. I mean, it looks like ever since Triple H kind of like took hold, like things kind of like improved, you know. And now that Vince is out for sure.
Oh, like, finally,
yeah. Like, and then I think is The Rock like the boss now? Like, is he like a
he's
boss?
He's on the board,
part owner.
So doesn't it make sense that he's like the heel boss now? Like.
Well, and that, you know, it's funny, like with The Rock, I told Matt this yesterday. I'm like, the final boss gimmick, one, is one of my favorite gimmicks I've seen in the last 10, 15, 20 years, because it's so fitting for The Rock, because he's just an intimidating looking fucking dude, even at his age. So it fits him perfectly, and he's just owning this villain role that he's playing. And you know, it's funny because when this all first sort of transpired, I remember sending a text. I think I sent it to y'all maybe, and I was like, Dwayne's fucking dead. The Rock is back. Like, this isn't fucking Dwayne no more. Like, and it's just, oh man, what he's done with this whole storyline, which obviously they called the swerve on because it was supposed to be Roman and Rock.
That part is super funny to me. I just caught up on that part. I'm like, y'all had to pivot so hard. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't even tell it.
Well, and I mean, the WrestleMania, I don't know if you know the backstory behind WrestleMania 30 when you were there, but obviously Daniel Bryan, that was his big moment, and the Yes movement came to a head. They had to do the same thing. Their hand was forced. They had to pivot because Batista won the Royal Rumble, and you know, the whole shtick there was he came back and people were like, dude, what the fuck is this? Like, no. And they had to pivot and throw Daniel Bryan into the mix because of how over he was. And this is the really cool thing. They took it and made it better. They made everything about it better this go round. And there was never really been this, oh fuck, like, oh, here we go again. WrestleMania is going to be ruined. The thing that I love, and this speaks volumes to Triple H, there was never a doubt, I felt like, from fans of like, God, this is going to suck. No, everyone was kind of like, all right, they're going to listen. Let's see where this goes. And that's where WWE is. Like, we're going to tell our story, but we're also going to listen to the fans and try to marry the two to give you the best possible product, not sit here and stroke egos like Vince was doing.
Mm-hmm.
they eventually got there with Daniel Bryan, but it took them a really long time, and I did not believe that they were actually going through with it until that man was in the main event of WrestleMania 30 and that bell rung. And I had the same exact reaction for Cody and Rock.
Yeah.
Because I was like, at WrestleMania, like at the Royal Rumble, Cody straight up was like, "It's you. I want you, Roman Reigns. What you gonna do, brother?" And like, so when the following Monday, when Seth Rollins gave his pitch, which was a legitimately good pitch, I was surprised at how well that he sold the merit of having a championship match with Cody at WrestleMania. It was always going to be Rock versus it was always going to be Roman versus Cody until it wasn't. And I shit myself. I was terrified. And then fortunately, yeah, like they immediately were like, "Oh, people hate this," and changed it. Thank God. Because could you imagine that we live in the alternate timeline where it is Rock versus Roman Reigns? Right now,
not in like consecutive weeks that they change it, like the one after
it happened quickly, and that
happened really quickly. Yeah,
it was quick, and that Triple H even had a quote that kind of alluded to it, basically saying, you know, we call audibles every week, you know, that's just what it is. And again, it's having a pulse on, you know, the wrestling fan base, the WWE universe.
Yeah, they changed it within like 5 days, I think there was, or Thursday, or. Yeah, it was like less than a week because they said there was the SmackDown where Rock came out. I'm going to fight Roman. And then the internet fucking exploded. And then Monday Night Raw happened. And
goddamn Cody crybabies.
Yeah, the Cody crybabies were like, "We want Cody." And then by that Thursday, they had changed it back.
Oh, dude, it's been a ride. Like this whole build up to it, I have watched every damn segment. Every time Cody and Rock or any of them are on the screen, it's just been fucking gold.
It's been electric. Goddamn. Like, also, real quick, I just want to touch on one thing that Buddy said, and how he caught up with like you caught up with the Bloodline stuff through like YouTube, right?
Yeah.
WWE's social media strategy has been really good. They just hit 100 million subscribers on YouTube, but the fact that they are like putting full matches up on YouTube from events from like 10 to 15 years ago helps the product so much. The fact that they are willing to do like 5-6 hour videos just recapping storylines, AEW's picked up on that now, and I really appreciate it. It's just really smart, and it's another one of those things that just really kind of make you realize that WWE is just full out doing it right now. It's really nice to see.
One of the things that got me was they posted the Taker, Mankind, Hell in a Cell. And yeah. Then a little bit after that, they posted the commentary by Taker and Mankind together where they're watching it together. And
oh,
I'm
that's
like,
cool.
And I'm like, dude, this is like blowing my fucking mind right now because, you know, you're getting like the play-by-play from them being like, "Oh yeah, I remember this was not supposed to happen," or "That was, you know," or like, "We call the audible here," or "You were not supposed to come back in the match." And I'm like, "Yeah, because he almost fucking died."
Right.
And, oh my God. Oh my God, he's broken in half.
Dude, like all that was just like iconic and it brought me back. And I'm like, whoa, I feel like a little kid again. So, and then on top of that, you got The Rock coming back at the same time where I'm like, I'll fucking watch The Rock do anything, really.
Well, Buddy, you mentioned earlier, I mean, 2005 was probably when you stopped watching.
Yeah,
I grew up big wrestling fans, and we were just joking about this. You know, we had a whole tag team created for what we were going to do if we became professional wrestlers, the whole nine. Like, we were those kids who just loved pro wrestling. Dressed up as Sting and Goldberg one Halloween, like, you know.
Did it on the trampoline when we were told right. not to.
All this do not try at home. Of course we didn't listen to that. Ryu and I had one of the best wrestling matches never seen, which was at Nicholls State University, all the way from the football stadium by the Mardi Gras floats into KNSU. It was great, you know?
I think I jumped off of a ladder.
I jumped off of a ladder onto the couch.
You jumped off of
a ladder. That's how we ended the match. Elbow drop off the ladder onto the couch in KNSU. Called it a day after 45 minutes.
I remember the ladder almost straight up fell on us. That was a lot of fun.
I was so fucking drunk that night too.
By God, by God.
But no, I mean, you know, but going back to the whole thing about 2005 and you mentioning The Rock being back, like you're interested. That's how I got back into professional wrestling, because I kind of fell off around 2006, 2007, once I kind of got into high school. And I didn't come back until after it was announced, we're going to get Rock versus Cena. When The Rock returned, I was like, oh, fuck yes. Like, I'm in. And I was still like,
I went back for that too. That was,
yeah, like I went back and I stayed.
That was the one that The Rock beat Cena, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. Now, after that, I was like, I don't even care if he beats him after that. I'm like, whatever, dude, fuck you, Cena. Like, suck it.
And, but yeah, I mean, that's what got me back into it. And then I stuck around and not been watching since. But then I also went through that hiatus of WWE where I was like, honestly, it was after WrestleMania 34 that I saw live where I was like, I'm fucking done with this. Because I was so exhausted after being there for 9 fucking hours.
WrestleMania 34 was so... Hey, Vito. We were about to talk about WrestleMania 34 being ass. The last one that was in New Orleans. I spent $300 on those tickets. Okay. Okay,
dude,
fair enough.
I was there with my dad. Like, I turned.
Yeah, we were like a section over.
I turned to my dad because that's who I sat with, and I was excited. You had some really good matches, but again, you're talking about a fucking 9-hour day, and
we did the bar crawl right before.
Which was fun. Like, that's part of it and everything. But by the time they had the stupid tag match with the kid, I was like, "What?
Oh,
the
Nicholas."
Fuck?
On TikTok. It's very
and then
funny.
Of course you had the main event that no one wanted. So I was just like, do I leave? No, I'm gonna stay.
You buddy, know, you look like Nicholas grew up, just by the way. I know you don't know who that is.
I don't even know who the fuck that guy is.
He's former WWE tag team champion. Thank you very much.
We got to go see the Undertaker lose at WrestleMania, and that was like,
ooh. Well, and that's what was cool. WrestleMania 30, there were so many big moments in that because the streak got broken, and like the silence was deafening. Like, all of us were just looking at each other, like, wait. Was that by accident? Was that supposed to happen? And then they milked it for a good minute. And of course, you have the meme of the guy whose face was just like, oh,
yeah.
And then the 21-1 pops up on the screen, and you're just like,
oh, this is real. Yeah.
I thought somebody was going to come out and be like, hold on, this match is a sham. Like,
and the winner is Brock Lesnar, I was like, I would think the exact same thing. Like, there was no way.
It was nuts. But you had that. You had
Cesaro won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Yeah,
I was really excited. That was gonna lead to big things for my man, and it didn't.
And then now he's Claudio Castagnoli in AEW,
and he's
baby.
Really good.
I love Claudio. He's the man. But but this year, I mean, honestly, fuck, dude. I wish I was going this year.
Philly, we can take a flight, huh?
What's that?
Good luck getting tickets. That thing has been sold out since like day one.
This thing's been sold out since 1947.
Speaking of the strength of WrestleMania season alone, I think the WWE said that they are on like 13 straight TV sellouts, which is nuts.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
The Rock, baby, The Rock, the Brahma Bull, the Great One, the People's Champ, the Final Boss.
Hollywood Rock.
Dude, it's been great. But all right, so going through the card here, we'll first start with night one here.
Well,
Rey Mysterio, Dragon
Actually,
Lee
real quick
against Santos Escobar.
Before that, I would like to shout out happening also on Saturday, NXT Stand and Deliver. The card, like, I'm not gonna run down the whole card, but I do just want to point out Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes is a WrestleMania main event waiting to happen. Like that's a WrestleMania 50 main event for sure.
Is Bron Breakker on it?
Bron Breakker is currently an NXT tag champion with Baron Corbin. Wow. They are the Wolf Dogs. So that's cool. And yeah, they will be on the show as well. I wanted to also shout out Sean Spears.
I did see the Sean Spears.
My boy, the Perfect 10, is finally back. And outside of that, I mean, Roxanne Perez, excellent. I like Dijak. But like, that's like deep cut. It's also on Saturday. So Saturday is going to be a really long day of wrestling.
Yeah, I'm just really going to watch WrestleMania and maybe I'll catch some highlights of that.
NXT don't miss when it comes to their big shows.
Oh, I know they don't.
I'll give them a shot if you have the time on a weekend where they're doing it. Well, anyway, please. So after NXT Stand and Deliver, we get into night one of WrestleMania 40.
So Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar, Dominic Mysterio. Again, long-term storytelling. You had Rey versus Dom, Dirty Dom. Or if you're R-Truth, Dom and Nick Mysterio. R-Truth, National Treasure. So you have that whole LWO feud kind of thing going, which is really cool. That'll be a good match. Showcases a lot of good people. Dragon Lee was obviously most recent debut and came in for this match. So this will be, I think, unless he hasn't had a match since he debuted. So this should be his first. If I'm not mistaken, unless
Dragon
missed,
Lee,
yeah,
Dragon Lee's been on like the odd show here and there.
Okay,
yeah, so he's been doing it for a little bit. But yeah, he was in NXT for a little bit. He was like the North American champion because I think Wes Lee got injured.
Gotcha. So you have that, you have good old, the holy trinity of badassery with Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade Cargill, who, by the way, Jade Cargill debuting in WWE, fucking hated her in AEW, but she was built for WWE, plain and simple.
Yeah, she was always, like, it always felt like okay, restarting the sentence, thank you, but Jade Cargill's husband is a retired professional baseball player, played for however many seasons. So long story short, they have millions of dollars in the bank. If Jade Cargill didn't do anything ever again, she would be set for life already. But like, it always felt like professional, and there's nothing wrong with this. It always felt like Jade Cargill's like path to fame was always going to go through pro wrestling because she was like, this is something that I could fucking dominate at. And she's probably right. Doesn't really like the WWE is going to be great for her because it is all flash and the it's all sizzle when the steak is a little thinner. So you have less steak to the sizzle, but the sizzle's really strong.
Yeah. And it's, you know, with AW, I mean, her matches weren't great. She was just squashing people to kind of protect her a little bit. Obviously went out with one loss, had a great fucking run there, but she can cut a promo.
She
great
lost
on the mic.
Literally one time.
You're right. Literally one time, but she can cut awesome. A fucking promo. She can dominate someone in the ring. And
no, twice. It was just Chris Statlander twice.
She lost twice.
Yeah. That her last match in AEW was a rematch of the pay-per-view match that she lost. Like, so she lost fair and square and put Chris Statlander over, like, without any like asterisk next to it. So she had two losses in AEW.
Okay,
very
Later
important.
One, dominant run. You got her, Bianca Belair, Naomi versus Damage Control. So I'm not gonna point out the obvious reference I can make right here.
Oh,
but,
Damage Control's going over. Yeah,
what's
I agree.
That?
Damage Control's totally going over.
You think so?
No, absolutely not. Oh, okay. Dakota Kai is eating that pin. She is absolutely eating a jaded.
Yeah,
I forgot what the name of that finisher was. Yeah, she's absolutely eating that pin. Vito's
but it's a good match.
Oh, that's scary.
Control, let me in. a dominant stable for the women's division for a while. So this is going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. You also have the six-pack ladder match, which there's anticipating a potential surprise in that, maybe. I don't know if someone interferes, whatever the case may be, but in all likelihood, undisputed tag team champs after this match, Awesome Truth, which is having a resurgence, which that seems to be kind of the odds on favorite, but that should be great. I mean, you have Judgment Day with Damian Priest, Finn Balor, Miz and Truth, Gargano and Ciampa, New Day with Kingston and Woods, Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, A-Town Down Under with Austin Theory, Grayson Waller. So that's going to be a fun match. I mean, this is your stereotypical non-build throwaway match. Let's make it a ladder match kind of thing. It's going to be fun.
You said something about Dominic Mysterio earlier though, right? Like them, him and yeah.
Let's get through the card and then let's go match by match and talk about them. Cause like I have some thoughts about a lot of these.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Then you got Jay and Jimmy Uso, which is going to be a barn burner. You have the IC Championship with Gunther and Sami Zayn. Another great build. Women's World Championship with Rhea and Becky Lynch. And then, of course, the main event night one, Rock, Roman Reigns, Cody, Seth Rollins. So we'll start there and go with night one here. But let's circle back to the first match with Mysterio, Dom, Dragon Lee, Santos Escobar, that tag match. So
I don't think this match happens if Dominic Mysterio was not added to it. I love Santos Escobar. I think Santos is underappreciated by the audience right now. But I don't think that Rey Mysterio versus Santos Escobar is necessarily a WrestleMania match on its own. So that's why I'm really happy that Dominic Mysterio was added to this match, because that also gives Dragon Lee his first match. And I'm really happy for that dude. And
I'm
Santos.
Really happy we get to see Dom and Nick Mysterio in the same room.
It's going to be a 3-on-2 handicap match.
Well, like the only thing I know is that he's with what's her face, Rhea Ripley, right? And Rhea Ripley right now is like, right? Like, marry
Rhea
me.
Ripley is everything.
Marry me, anything you want. Yes. Stomp on me, mommy. I don't care. Like, do what you want. So anything that pleases her, I'm down for. So, in this point, I'm gonna say fuck Rey Mysterio for this one, but like, you know. You know, any other one you can have, Ray. So,
something else about they're using this match to kind of do a Judgment Day like tensions thing
kind
that
of
I think is fun.
War between Judgment Day kind of thing.
Yeah, we'll get to that a little later, but we'll see how that pans out later on in this WrestleMania.
All right, so let's pick it then. So Mysterio and Lee versus Escobar and Dom. I'm going to take Mysterio and Lee.
I, too, am going to take Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee. I think Rey Mysterio pins Santos Escobar.
Yes, definitely. Definitely LWO is going over, dude.
Well, and you already know my stance, so whatever. Whatever those cheeks want of mommy, I'm good.
So we got one person going with Dirty Dom and the boys.
Hell yeah, baby.
I like it. I
think it's more Rhea Ripley than anything else. Yeah, she's not even in the match.
Yeah.
She'll be there. She'll be there.
She'll be there. She'll be coaching Dirty Dom. But then we have Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade against Damage Control. You know, I'm not too familiar with the build per se. The only thing I really know about this is I've kind of just gotten back into WWE. Is of course Damage Control has been around a while. I know they've had kind of the whole split with Bayley, I believe, which is also going to come to a head at Mania. I mean, I feel like this one, with how popular Jade is and how big of a debut that was, it's got to be them. And then Bianca, of course, like those two stars alone, It's gotta be.
Bianca Belair is badass. Is badass as hell. Like I've seen.
She is badass.
Yeah.
She's the EST
of WWE, baby.
What does that stand for?
The EST, as in BEST, like the best, the strong est, the fast est.
Ah,
EST.
Ah,
it's a good gimmick. It's a really good gimmick. The EST.
We weren't the smart est at that. Thanks, Matt.
No problem. As far as the prediction for this match, yeah, I this one is a pretty easy pick. I think Jade Cargill gets the pin on Dakota Kai, but I will be on the lookout for any like teases of feuds between Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair, because I think that is probably next WrestleMania's night one main event.
Wait, who?
Jade Cargill versus Bianca Belair.
Yeah. Definitely.
Or Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair, but we'll get there when we get there.
I want to see a fucking domination of these women. Like, I want to see them fucking just like no fucking take no hits, flawless victory. That's what I want to see.
It should be a squash. You're right, but yeah, I feel like there were better ways to
filler match.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want to see. I want to see a fucking dominating woman's team just lay waste to these people right quick.
I think that's what we're gonna get.
Come dominate and leave.
I was going to say, I mean, I feel like
I'll show you that video later.
A very prejudiced line there, buddy, but we'll see. We'll see.
No, we're not doing prejudice today.
we're not doing that today.
but no, I mean, I think that's going to be a squash. And here's the great thing about this card. A lot of these matches I feel like are pretty obvious, but it doesn't take weight away from the match itself. Like, I'm still excited for every fucking one of these matches. Then we have the six-pack ladder match. So again, Priest and Balor, Miz and Truth, Gargano and Ciampa, Kingston Woods, Dunn and Bate, Theory and Waller. And again, I feel like it's an obvious answer here. I'm going Awesome Truth, Miz, R-Truth, R-Truth. You know, the more he's on television, the better, because the man's a national fucking treasure.
It is incredible. So I really got back into WWE around 2011, which is when R-Truth was going through his initial Little Jimmy gimmick.
Yes.
And that came to a head at a pay-per-view match with John Cena at Capital Punishment 2011, which is a pay-per-view that I want to say featured Obama.
It did feature Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, hell yeah.
What a
dumb show.
They invited every U.S. senator to it.
That's great.
That sounds like a fucking terrorist plot. I don't know.
It kind of does. But yeah, getting back
on topic.
Don't worry,
John Cena saved the day for the U.S. Senate, buddy.
Because you can't see him. He's a great special agent.
Getting back on topic, I think it's so impressive that R-Truth has been doing the same thing since 2011, and it still hasn't gotten old.
No,
it's like he's so good at what he does. My bad.
Well, and this is, with R-Truth, what I'd love to see, and this is where I wish WWE and AEW and everyone would just kind of put their dicks down for a moment and stop pissing on one another. Let R-Truth free roam between brands. So, like, he shows up at AEW, his music hits, and he's just like, wait, this ain't the Royal Rumble?
That would be great.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
That's my bad. And then he just walks out. I mean, you have gold. Use it.
He's going to show up in AEW be like, John Cena, I'm calling you out.
Right.
They should let him do that. That would be amazing.
Oh, dude, you know how much the wrestling fans in
let him be the Deadpool
pop off?
And it just shows up on WWE next week like nothing ever happened.
Right. Well, dude, I mean, he's made a whole career off of this shit. Like, his promo with Triple H talking to Little Jimmy next to him is one of my all-time favorites. He has the promo where he makes Brock break character because he's talking to Brock about being worried about him in the Royal Rumble because he's a big, big, big guy. And then he's like, Paul Heyman. And then they're like, I'm sorry, what? he's great. R-Truth just needs an hour to himself every show.
But to get further back on topic, as far as a prediction for this match goes, I am going to actually go with something a little untraditional. I think they will use the opportunity to split the tag titles. And I think that Miz and R-Truth will win the Raw titles. And if they're in the match, because I've heard weird rumors that they won't be, I think A Town Down Under will win the SmackDown tag titles. The reason why I think all of this is because Michael Cole said when he was running down the card that the match ends when both sets of titles are taken down.
And yeah, R2's definitely just going to take down like the red ones.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be like, Miz, we did it. We did it. And he just has one set of titles. It's going to be great. I feel like in my blood, that's going to happen.
Oh, that's got to happen.
But that'd be great. If it does, I will be so happy. So, yeah, split winners.
I'm going with mommy, dude. I gotta go with mommy. Come on, come on. That's who I'm going for. I need her to be
winning WrestleMania this year. Apparently,
I need her to be happy, happy, happy. That's all.
It'll be really funny when we get to that match, and he'd be like, "I think Becky Lynch is gonna take it."
No way, man. You seen that goth booty cheeks, dude? I'm all in, dude. I'm all in.
Here you go.
Oh man.
Oh god. All right, Vito, who you got?
Dude, awesome truth. But I do like the idea of them splitting it.
Yeah. It's long overdue as
it's
far as
I agree. Overdue. They need I to give it a moment. That. You know. And you gotta remember Archer's like 52 years old.
Yeah, he's
it's
old,
crazy.
Still
right?
Killing it. Yeah. This is what happens when your role in professional wrestling is to just not wrestle and go make a funny for a segment. You can last forever.
Dude, K-Quick. Remember he was K-Quick?
Oh, yeah. K-Quick and Road Dogg, baby.
First NWA, Black NWA World Champ, baby.
Yep.
There you go. Pretty cool stuff.
Next up, so this is a match that I'm actually looking forward to. If I had to rank it, it would be in my top three as far as looking forward to it. But it's the battle between Jimmy and Jay. They get a full fucking match on their own singles match against each other at Mania. I'm excited for this one. You mentioned the Bloodline earlier, buddy. I mean, the Bloodline story's been great. I love that Jimmy was always kind of the cool one, if you will. And then Jay always had the problems with Sammy and all this other shit. And then in the long run, it's Jay who's the fucking face of it.
That's a good storyline.
It is. It's been set up so perfectly. It's been a long time coming, been something that, you know, they've been teasing. So I'm all in on this one, and I think they're going to put on a fucking show.
Has there been any other storyline that has the life like this one where it just keeps getting reincarnated? Like, it has segments to the storyline at this point. It's like chapters of a book at this point. Like, you have the Sammy stuff. You have the...
You could get a whole... the Bloodline story in general. Yeah. It's crazy.
Like, how you can break it up into, like, parts. Legs like that? Because, I mean, like, you can break it up into different parts, and it, like, stands alone on its own. Like, the Rock stuff with the Bloodline is kind of its own little thing versus, like, the Sammy stuff or versus the... When they
it
were putting the Bloodline
together.
It helps
when you have a storyline that has run so long.
Yeah,
you don't really see stuff like this in modern wrestling. And I feel like if, like, Bruno Sammartino, like, I feel like wrestling would sort of be similar back then, back in those days when, like, fuck, Bruno had like a 10,000 day run.
I think the Bloodline has been WWE's sort of version of Bullet Club with New Japan, because Bullet Club had that too, where you could take standalone leaders of that faction because of how long it's run and tell an entire story about it. And I feel like that's kind of similar to what they have with the Bloodline.
That's a great point.
But as far as Jimmy and Jay goes, this is one of the ones I'm actually really torn on. I'm not sure how it's going to go. For all intents and purposes, I mean, my gut says Jay, but I'm actually going to pick Jimmy in this one.
It should have been a false count anywhere and let them, like, go fucking crazy, like, jump off shit.
Yeah.
Because they are, like, both, like, really crazy athletes, huh?
Yeah.
I guess if I had to pick one based on what I know and what I've caught up with, I probably would have to say that Jimmy is going to win because of Solo doing something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my problem. That's a great point. I did not think. It's bloodline stuff, so of course you would have to. But yeah, I completely forgot about.
I hope we get Rikishi involvement.
Yeah, it'd be great if we got Rikishi involvement.
Why, he's gonna do it for The Rock?
Do it for The Rock. Yeah. I did this for The Rock.
Oh man! They could pull off something so cool.
Because that would be three brothers, right? That would be the three. Yeah. Like them three get to have like a WrestleMania moment. Like
if Solo Sikoa,
that makes a lot of sense.
If Solo Sikoa turns on Jay, or eventually leaves the bloodline, and he did it because The Rock told him to, and he uses that line, I'm just gonna die a happy man.
Yeah.
But
I will shit my pants while watching it.
I think Jay takes this. If Roman ends up losing, they could very well do a just bloodline is completely collapsing type deal.
Absolution.
But if Jimmy wins, he could be like, I'm the tribal chief now. Like he used to back before Roman came back from his like 6 month break. But yeah, I think Jay, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's Jimmy.
All right, Vito.
I think Uso's gonna win.
Dang.
Which one's heel? Is it Jimmy?
Jimmy's the heel, still in the bloodline.
Hey, when this all started, when it started with one of the Uso brothers versus Roman, like pre-bloodline story, like that would lead into the bloodline story.
The bloodline story started when Jimmy tore his ACL, and that allowed
they feuded
a Jay versus Roman story. Yes.
It was Jay versus Roman.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking Jimmy was going to win, but if Roman does lose, they could lead into like doing like they cap off the whole bloodline story the way it started, like with a rematch.
Oh, Jimmy versus Jay? Oh, Jimmy versus Jay versus Roman?
Yeah. Because I think Jimmy's going to win. Jimmy needs it more, honestly.
Jimmy could use a big win, but like where does Jimmy go after? Like, that's my question. I feel like Jey Uso, at the very least, has shown that he is like a straight up world title contender. And I think that if he wins here, his path to the world heavyweight championship is really obvious. But you can also get there if Jimmy wins, just depends on how you get there.
Yeah. I like the idea of no matter what happens, then cap off the bloodline story if Roman loses with a rematch.
That'd be
but
so
I think
sick.
I think Jimmy's gonna win.
Like champion Jey Uso defending it against Roman. Like, y'all, that'd be good. That'd be real good.
Yeah.
Damn.
What a match. I mean, so many possibilities.
Shout out the bloodline story.
Yeah, shout out.
Next up, IC Championship, Gunther and Sami Zayn. This is another kind of tough one to call. I mean, it feels like it'd be obvious, but I don't know. Maybe they pull a swerve. This has been another really cool build. I love Chad Gable's involvement with Sammy, trying to train him and everything like that. I want to pick Sammy so bad, but I'm not going to do it. I'll stick with the status quo here. Gunther retains, and he ends up just, you know, going ham, maybe till SummerSlam, maybe a whole nother year as IC champ.
I think this is probably Gunther's win. I feel like there is a bigger moment for somebody else other than Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn has already won in the main event of WrestleMania. Sami Zayn has been Intercontinental Champion like three times. So I feel like you save the big moment for somebody else and you push Sami into the WWE Championship scene, whatever happens after WrestleMania. Like, I don't think this is his stopping point.
Sami Zayn's the new tribal chief. That's what's going to happen.
Almost.
You're right for you because I I didn't know all that going, like, that he's already been, he'd already won a big match. So, because I only know him as the Bloodline lackey.
Yeah.
So,
who's,
well, and then to know that, well, and then I know that he won tag team titles, like, from them, and that was cool. So he already got his big, like, win to kind of, like, big bump moment. Him up. Yeah, yeah, like, after that. Because if he didn't have those tag team titles, I would say this would be the moment to, like, bump him up, you know, and then let him go from there. But, yeah, okay, I had to agree with you on the Gunther thing then. Yeah, I'll go with that.
No, Gunther loses, definitely. Like, first of all, this is my bathroom break match. But they need to... Cody,
that's crazy.
Where else in the card is the bathroom break? After they show the promo for this match, I'm going to the bathroom.
When they bring out
when they bring out Lil Wayne for a live musical performance
next to Mae Young's corpse, like,
yeah. If Cody wins, who's gonna feud with him?
If they who need wins?
Somebody. He did.
If Cody wins.
Cody wins. Who's gonna feud with him?
Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
The Rabid Wolverine's back from the dead.
The long con. We're getting canceled.
I mean, you really can't do too much more as IC champ.
Yeah,
doesn't he hold the record longer. Now?
Yes, I mean, he holds the record for longest record. Individual reign and most days combined.
Right, and they gave him, like, the huge thing at the Rumble last year. Not this year, but last year. I mean, like, they've been pushing him for a while. They've been building up him to go on eventually.
He's got Braun a weird body.
Braun Breaker takes it from him.
Huh?
Braun Breaker eventually takes it from him.
I think it's Chad Gable. I think they give it to Chad Gable at SummerSlam.
I'd be cool with that.
Me too. Shit.
Ready, Willing, and Gable, baby. Then we have the Women's World Championship, Rhea and the Man, Becky Lynch, another match that I can't fucking wait for. This match is going to be awesome. Buddy, we don't need to ask you who you're taking. We know it's Rhea.
Buddy's doing the yes chant for audio.
He really is.
Listeners.
He's doing the yes chant. We know he's taking Rhea. You're
going to get a cease and desist on that, buddy.
He's getting up. He is grabbing a championship belt. He has big gold.
The big gold, baby. Can't beat it.
The best belt ever.
It's a great looking belt. I'll tell you
the
that.
The big gold is one of the best. Yes.
The big gold is the best. I'm not going to lie.
Is that the NWA championship, Vito?
Yeah.
Why do you have the NWA champ? Is that the one that I got you for your wedding, Mike? Mike is holding up a toy 2014 era WWE championship belt.
Got me that for my wedding. That was
Hell yeah.
Still got it, baby.
That's awesome.
Hold on. I'm gonna take Rhea as well. So we know Buddy's taking Rhea. I got Rhea. Vito, who you taking? Rhea or the Man?
I want it to be Rhea, but I don't know what's gonna happen.
Oh, world champ.
Because Becky's got to go on a book tour, probably. She's going to bring that belt with her on every stop of the way.
So you're taking Becky?
I mean, I'm taking Rhea.
Oh, Rhea, okay.
Yeah, who you think sends Buddy all the Rhea Ripley stuff?
I believe it. All right, Matt, who you taking?
This is a tough one because I can see it going either way. I feel like you probably give it to Rhea Ripley. If I was booking WrestleMania, that's how I would do it. I think Rhea Ripley retains because she is at this point, one of the few like crossover breakaway stars WWE has. Becky Lynch used to be that. I don't think she is still that, but she is less of that. Roman Reigns is, The Rock is. And I think Rhea Ripley totally is. Cody Rhodes is there too. She is like tippy top main eventer in as far as I'm concerned. So I think you give it to her.
I think she reaches a different audience in a really good way.
Yeah, Coomers, goons.
So then we have the night one main event. The Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth. This, obviously, we've talked about this whole storyline at the very beginning. As far as who's winning, I mean, this is another one I think goes either way, but I'm going to go with Rock and Roman. And I'm actually going to call something that I don't think many people are calling. I'm actually going to say that The Rock ends up pinning Cody.
I think that makes sense. I think they will do anything they can to make this an incredibly hyped main event. So if you stack the deck against Cody even more than it already is, that boy is getting the pop of his life when he hits that three.
But and here's what the only way to do that that's interesting
is if the Bloodline wins.
So here's something that's interesting though. So I say that, but I also wonder, so we talked about calling audibles. What happens if Cody comes out for that night one main event and gets booed out of the building because it's fucking Philly and because Philly does Philly shit? That would be interesting. But I'll say Rock pins Cody because then this gives validity, which, spoiler alert, Cody's beaten Roman night two. That's what I'm saying. The only reason I'm spoiling that now is because if Rock pins Cody night one, Roman loses to Cody night two, that sets up that civil war to happen between the Bloodline. And that's what I think it happens going into SummerSlam. And this comes to a head with Roman versus Rock.
I feel like the Rock's involvement with this is way better now than if he were to just get the WrestleMania match and straight up just get it. I don't see how they get it's Rock versus Roman. It's gonna feel huge no matter what. But the fact that we actually are getting like really, really motivated Dwayne Johnson to do this is the difference maker, I think. Because there is a universe in which he comes out and he says, this side chant ass, this side chant hole thing that he's done to like Theory and like taking up way too much of the show with the most boring and inane shit possible. But we don't live in that era. I think you can say that The Rock did what Roman couldn't. And I think your read on that is 100% correct.
I'm going that yes, Rock will pin Cody. I think that The Rock will turn on Roman. And that is how Cody. And that is how Cody actually wins. He turns, he turns on Roman Reigns, and that's how. And then that's how you get the civil war between
Samoan civil war.
Yeah, part two, I guess. Right?
Let's do it.
Right. They use that for Money in the Bank.
Yeah, that's why I think The Rock is gonna fucking flip again, and people want to love The Rock. Like it's hard to hate The Rock. You hear it all the time. People just chanting Rocky. So I think they're going to give it back to them. There was just like a little like, hey, remember his heel moment? Yeah, we brought it back to music, right? Yeah, he's an asshole, right? All right, remember how much you love him? Okay, go back to that.
Not wrong.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right. I think we're definitely getting Rock pinning Cody. And, you know, Cody then wins the next night. You couldn't get the job done. SummerSlam match. So the Samoan Civil War part two.
Ooh, you know what I'm saying? I think what's going to happen is Rock versus Cody one-on-one in September for their first Netflix Raw. I think random prediction, but I think they're really going to stack the hell out of that first show to show like Netflix, like, yeah, this is what you bought.
Yeah, that would be good. Is that first show where someone made a point to me about Dusty winning his first championship? And I wonder if the show's in the city that he won his first championship, which would be interesting too.
I don't know if they have a schedule booked out that in advance.
But
what's the date of it? Just look it up.
It's like this September, I think.
Sometime in September. But Yeah, no, night one is going to be fucking insane. And then night two, you have a lot less going on. But what you have going on. Listen, Vito, was it you that said that your bathroom break was going to be during the, which match was that?
Sami Zayn Gunther match. Gunther, whatever.
Your bathroom break should be on night two. Just don't pee all day for night one. And your
I don't know if I'm watching it. Night two will be like a Peacock rewind for me, probably.
But
I don't even know what match
Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits against Final Testament.
I guess my bathroom breaks early on that one.
What's that?
I think my bathroom breaks early on night two.
Yeah, I think I'm taking a bathroom break during the first. Well, that won't be the first match, I wouldn't think. But I don't even know. I'm just going to go ahead and say Final Testament, even though that's a blind pick in every sense of the word.
This one's weird to me because this is one of those WrestleMania matches that are kind of for the benefit of the wrestlers themselves, in the sense that, like, could you ever imagine that Akeman Razor of the Authors of Pain were going to get a WrestleMania match? This is also a little weird, mainly because it feels like Bobby Lashley has been a victim specifically of Triple H's booking. And also the fact that because of the Bloodline story, there is nowhere else for him to go. And so he's kind of stuck in this weird limbo where he's kind of not really doing anything super important. I feel like they had a lot bigger plans for this group that I think kind of fizzled out. And I also think that, random guess, I don't think this is going to happen because I literally just thought of it. I think Montez Ford could potentially turn here. Why not? It's a big enough moment. It'll make the whole thing worthwhile. So I think Final Testament wins after Montez Ford decides to get a character.
I'm going to go with y'all's pick because I have no idea who.
Yeah. Like, that's if you're not following SmackDown, then you're not really following this story.
Besides Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
Yeah. I know Bobby Lashley. That's it.
Okay, cool. Moving on from this match.
Thank you.
So, LA Knight, AJ Styles. Yeah.
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 Maybe. So, collectively, are we all picking LA Knight here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wrong one.
Yeah, I am happy for LA Knight to finally get this WrestleMania match after last year when they were in Los Angeles. He wasn't even on the show. Like, I feel like that, like, God damn it, Vince.
Like, dummy.
I'm so happy you're gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like this feud enough. I liked when LA Knight went to AJ Styles' house. That was cool. I think LA Knight wins and is probably next in line for a mid-card championship of some kind.
Yeah.
Probably beat the fuck out of Logan Paul.
That's my guess.
That's what I thought was going to happen. And then which I'm okay with him being in a feud with AJ Styles because that's going to be a fucking good match. And picking up a win on AJ is great. That's a valid name and big win. So, but I want to see LA get a title run. I mean, he's still very much over. I mean, definitely not as hot as he once was, but still crowd loves him. I mean, he has them eating out of the palm of his hand anytime he comes out onto the screen. So I think this is one of those obvious choices. AJ doesn't have much to gain from winning here. AJ is AJ. LA gets getting a victory here will just further solidify him to get a title run at some point. So that brings us to the U.S. United States Championship. It hasn't been a long build. They started planting seeds in Royal Rumble. And then I think after Elimination Chamber, it pretty much solidified, okay, this is the card they're running with here. But you got Logan Paul defending against Kevin Owens, Randy Orton. you can't ask for a better three to compete in a triple threat match in this one. You know, and the cliche with Logan Paul is everyone hates to say it, but he's fucking good. He should not be this good.
Yeah, I don't know how somebody like who scams all his fans out of millions of dollars gets to be on here and cool, but yeah, he gets to be that fucking athlete is what he is. So
hey, he is, and he's fantastic. And he so I think he retains. I think this is another obvious choice. Paul retains, but and again, this is kind of what I alluded to earlier. This is one of those matches where maybe the winner is obvious, but it's gonna be a fun match, and you know there is going to be some stupid, crazy RKO spot that they do with him and Logan Paul at some point. Maybe he jumps off the fucking rafters and goes full Owen Hart but doesn't die. I don't know. too soon. But there's going to be some absolutely bonkers RKO spot. So that's what I'm looking forward to is when does it happen?
Yeah,
because as you know, an RKO cannot come out of somewhere.
I gotta wonder when the last time Randy Orton hit an RKO just with his normal taunt, like the get up taunt into the finisher. It has to have been years ago.
In a minute. Does anybody else think that Logan Paul is gonna hold that belt for like a long time?
I think until SummerSlam, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe earlier. Well,
definitely SummerSlam. I mean, SummerSlam's his home town, isn't it?
Gonna be Cincinnati.
Is it Oklahoma State? Yeah.
You know
they
what?
Like him showing up to Netflix with the title for their first Netflix.
Wait, SummerSlam's in Cincinnati.
He brings the title everywhere.
So John Moxley returns and beats Logan Paul for the title. That's what happens. I don't think that happens. I'm joking.
I don't think that happens.
That'd be pretty cool if John Moxley didn't sign like a 50-year agreement with AEW.
Yeah.
It's funny how they gave him the former WCW championship, though. They're like, yeah, you can go handle that a little bit, and then we'll see what you can do. Like, they fucking treat WCW shit like, yeah, whatever, you know.
Secondary exactly. Title. Or you know what? I think it could be very possible that Logan Paul loses and just kind of gets bumped up to the World Heavyweight Championship scene. That wouldn't surprise me. Because I was just reminded that we are gonna have to deal with that ugly ass Prime logo on the WrestleMania mats. Just remembered that, and I wish that I didn't, but I'm glad that I did, because I would have been pissed if I would have been blindsided by that.
It's so terrible.
It's so bad.
Did you see the pictures of people superimposing it on like Attitude Era shit?
Yeah,
like Hell in the Cell with the Prime logo. Mick Foley dead in the Prime.
Never had a what?
Have you ever drank Prime?
No. I know kids love it.
Well, it's funny because I saw a clip of him talking with Mark Cuban, and Mark Cuban was like, this is actually really good stuff. And I was like, well, fuck, if Mark Cuban likes it, I mean, fuck.
I did hear somebody say it was like actually pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard really good things.
And then they were mad after when they found out it was a Logan Paul drink. They were like, it's really good, and they drank it.
And I don't buy it. I'm like, I don't want to give money to this asshole.
That's true. Fuck that dude.
I'm going to bring some for WrestleMania.
I think Logan Paul does retain. I don't think it's necessarily his time yet.
Or his brother comes out and fucks him over and starts a fucking feud.
You had me in the first half.
Yeah, looking to help him, but then Mike Tyson comes out and was like, no.
Mike Tyson kills Jake before their fight happens.
Oh, I forgot their fucking fight. Yeah.
I hope Mike Tyson destroys him.
Did you see now it's not an exhibition? I can't say that.
They probably have a no knockout clause. Like, it's dumb. It's not really a fight. Stupid.
Yeah, they pulled that with like one of Mike Tyson's like earlier fights against I forget who his last like big fight was with. But yeah, that ended in a draw when it was very obviously Mike Tyson just kicking that dude's ass the whole time.
Dumb.
If you were one of those judges, would you really score against Mike Tyson?
Absolutely not.
Like, no.
So in the WWE Women's Championship, you got Sky versus Bailey in this one. I mean, again, it's been a long time coming. Bailey wins the Rumble. I'm glad Bailey got her Rumble moment, got the win. And it's pretty obvious she's going definitely be the new champion after Mania. This is going to kind of finish that story, if you will, with Damage Control and everything. So, yeah, I'm ready for this one. That's going to be a good match. Number one, number two. I've always loved Bailey, so seeing her get a championship at Mania is going to be awesome.
This is my piss match. I don't know anybody.
No, you'll stay for this one, buddy. I'll send you photos later. But
oh my god,
Bailey's definitely going over on this one. Bailey and Bailey's booty is definitely going over on this one.
Yeah, I feel like this build has been good, but this build could have been better with more time.
Yes,
and I feel like it's not for trying. And I think Bayley is getting a big WrestleMania moment, finally. Yeah. Well, you know what? She did beat like Sasha Banks 1 year at WrestleMania or something, or Charlotte or somebody. But this will be a nice like cap on her career. This will be like the last big thing she does, and I think it's going to be big.
Cue the "You Deserve It" chance.
I agree. To them.
Then we got the World Heavyweight Championship, Seth Rollins versus Drew, CM Punk on commentary. Cannot wait. The segment they had Monday was amazing, and I'm excited for this one. Obviously, Punk being involved is always a good time, but what Drew has been doing, the way they've been building him up has been great. Like, I feel like this is peak Drew McIntyre right now. Seth's taking the L at Mania, no question about it. I don't think there's any shot in hell he's retaining. And I got good old Drew going home with the gold.
This one's tough because I can see it going a lot of ways. It started a little weird, not gonna lie. I feel like Seth Rollins, credit to him, he could have looked like a massive chump when the Cody and Roman story was really kind of hitting like its rocky beginning. Because his whole thing was that, you know, this isn't the secondary championship. Come on, man. And that was always a really weird thing to do, I think.
I remember reading that a lot of people felt that way.
And
yeah, the way it was presented, it was really weird.
Yeah, it was super weird. Like they were trying to.
If you remember, even when they debuted the Undisputed belt, they were still bringing out the other old belts, and everybody thought that the new belt was actually not going to stay around for a long time. That it was going to turn into a story about how Roman never works, and then Roman was going to like go against Seth and title for title. Like it was
very started weird. The whole story, like they started the whole championship by basically saying, yeah, Roman just never shows up for work. Which is not the strongest way to debut a new championship. Also credit to Drew McIntyre for making this match as entertaining as it possibly could have. When CM Punk went down, this was really rocky. And I'm glad that everybody is ready and back up enough to where they were able to make some real good chicken shallot out of some real good, real bad chicken shit. Goddamn. Anyway.
You'll get there.
Yeah, for real. I think Drew McIntyre loses his second match of the night. Because I think he wins against Seth Rollins, but loses against Damian Priest.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, he has two.
No.
Damian Priest has the Money in the Bank, which he can cash in.
No, I want him to cash in on Cody as Cody finally finishes the story.
I would be pissed.
Everybody would be
canceling my Peacock subscription.
No, that'd be freaking great, dude.
That'd be so cool to me.
And you know what, buddy? Buddy, mommy will probably come out for that, too, so you'll see Rhea Ripley again.
Hell yeah, dude.
Fuck that dude. Fuck Cody. His story.
Fuck his story.
Yeah, dude. I'm tired of that fucking story shit, dude.
Actually, yeah. Hold up, man. Fuck Cody, dude.
I'm turning on Cody. How are we cheering so weirdly?
How are we cheering on some guy who's wearing a suit when we grew up in the 90s? Learned that everybody who wore suits was an asshole. We used to just fucking be down with them. Like, fuck that, dude. The Rock's coming out with like Gucci vests. I'm like, that's my dude. Like, we're doing this.
So, Roman Cody main event. Yeah, I already alluded to mine, Cody, but I mean, Matt, you've already alluded to yours, Cody. Vito and Buddy, the Cody haters in the room. So this is
he
like
still wins, but
yeah, I think he wins, but it's not because I want him to.
Fucking haters.
Although does he lose and they keep Roman with the title? How long before Roman would break all the records?
If you're talking about like Bruno Sammartino, it'll be like another like 7 years.
Is it? No, he's not that far away.
Bruno Sammartino's first reign was like 13 years.
No, combined he was at like a little over 10.
You might be right. I'm just gonna Google it because we have
a seven-year run with the title.
He had a 7-year run. He beat one of Bruno's runs already.
Oh. But he had a 7-year run, so we would.
How
have
annoying
another,
must
like,
wrestling
years.
Have been to keep up
if
with?
If we had to sit through another 4 years of Roman, I would end it.
Yeah, that'd be pretty bad.
But yeah, Cody's
all that far off.
He's far off.
Cody's totally winning. I think this is. I said it last year. Cody will never get more over. I really do think that if Cody loses this year, it is point of no return. Cut that man. Send him back to AEW because he is not recovering. There's no way you run that WrestleMania match back a third time and expect people to care at all.
Yeah, Stardust.
We don't talk about that. No,
I love Stardust. That theme was great. Like he really worked to make it like something. Stardust is a better gimmick than it had any right to be. And I think Cody Rhodes hates it so much is because he knew that that was not a main event gimmick.
No,
but Stardust was freaking great. Love that character.
That makes one of us.
But he wasn't golden.
Something I wanted to jump back to that happened on Raw this week, too. Might have been last. I can't remember which week it was where they had the big promo between Seth, Drew, and CM Punk. But, dude, the funniest thing that came out of it was Punk just being fucking CM Punk and told Drew point blank to his face, "Oh, yeah, who believed in you? You want to go ahead and say his name on live TV right now?" And
oh, jeez.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
If you don't know who that person was, Drew was Vince's hand-picked golden boy when he first debuted. So CM Punk just fucking took the shot of all shots, alluding to Vince McMahon on live television. It was fucking great.
It takes a lot of takes some big grapefruits to say that.
Hey, where would Punk have fit in if he didn't get hurt?
It was supposed to be him and Rollins.
But then why they start the Drew McIntyre stuff?
Because Punk tore his pec at the Rumble.
But like, why even keep him alive? Like, why even keep his name out there?
Why keep him alive? Well, that could be unpacked in a lot of ways.
Like, why keep him alive in the zeitgeist? They don't usually do that. I was kind of wondering if there was originally going to be a triple threat for that match instead of the other one. Instead of the
I'm keeping him relevant in the story because he's CM fucking Punk and because anytime he's on the TV, he's a draw. And
yeah, but so was Stone Cold, and they kept his name off of TV for like 12 months.
Well, that's because Vince is an idiot.
There it is. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's a billionaire.
So yeah, so he's automatically going to just be an absolute moron.
True.
But yeah, other than that, WrestleMania is about to be fucking lit. I'm excited for it. Like I said, I mean, there hasn't been a card I've been more excited for in fucking 20 years. So, but overall, what's the one big takeaway you guys want to see on WrestleMania weekend?
I want
Buddy Rhea, we know.
I want Cody to be buried. I want Rhea's ass in my face. There you go.
I always liked the stage. Last year's stage was like one of the best they have ever done, if not the best they've ever done. I feel like this year is going to be a real, a less cool stage. But
they just come out of a straight curtain. They're going back to that formula this year.
Honestly, I would welcome that. If they made it like a big boxing, like entrance type thing, it would take a different vibe to pull it off. But if they wanted to sell as many tickets as they possibly could, that's the way you do it.
The ECW brick wall.
Ooh.
No, it's going to be a big bell. It's going to be a big bell.
It's definitely going to be a big bell.
Somebody needs to come out through a giant fist. That's what I always liked, the old SmackDown set.
Yeah.
But yeah, one of the big things that I'm really looking forward to is just moving on from Roman Reigns. I love Roman Reigns to death, but I am ready to see movement with that title again. And I hope it happens, and I hope we get to see Cody Rhodes do the whoa with both titles. Like, that'll be cool. Come on. Can't say it will. That woe is going to be loud as shit.
And then that Money in the Bank hits.
Oh, man.
You said you want movement.
MJF finally debut on WWE television.
You said you want movement, man. Yeah. Movement as hell.
But, do you think there's any validity to those rumors?
Fuck no, dude. He signed a contract with AEW. Like, I think he's locked in AEW for the next 3 years, probably.
I mean, I think so too, but still.
I am glad that he came back from the dead and tweeted again. It's great. Having MJF, you know.
Did you see the picture of him in Philly this week?
No.
At the airport?
Nope. Because it probably doesn't exist.
Classic airport photos.
Classic
so
airport
good.
Photos.
They're so good. I love them during Rumble season. I've seen that same during picture Rumble, of CM Punk at the airport like 50 times.
But any debuts? Do we have any debut predictions? Or returns, maybe?
Well, who's out there to return?
Nah.
No, I mean, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea who can return.
What about the rumors of Cena and Stone Cold coming out?
Yeah,
I feel like if they do it right, then yeah, they'll show up during the main event. I think it's going to be this big like Avengers Assemble moment, and everybody's going to just come and just absolutely wreck Roman Reigns, and then come again.
Shout out Paul Heyman, dude, fucking Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
yeah.
Roman's inducted, and that's going to be fucking cool too. Paul Heyman is. Dude, there was a video. Have y'all ever seen the video of him? So he was cutting a promo and someone proposed in the middle of the promo and the crowd started chanting like she said yes. And then Paul Heyman interrupts the proposal and just does Paul Heyman shit.
Yeah, it's a great video. Dude.
It is. And it's like, it's one of those things. It's like, dude, he just made that memorable moment even better by just being fucking Paul Heyman and knowing damn good and well what he's doing, and then gets right back into his promo. I was like, what a fucking genius, dude.
Did you see Paul Heyman win his speech
when I die?
Did you see that he said he's just going to wing his speech? And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be great.
That checks out. That sounds about right. But all in all, you two haters need to, you know, just get ready, buckle up, because Cody's coming home with the gold, baby. American Nightmare, Hard Times, it's all coming to a head. We get Cody Rhodes, the reign of Cody's beginning. So, you know, for all those out there, the Cody crybabies are coming out in full force. You can just deal with it. So, as always, honor the huddle. You're listening to the Hotard Huddle Podcast. Join the conversation on sports, movies, television, music, and more.
The Hotard Huddle Podcast is not responsible for any major side effects of nostalgia, fanboying, or foul language.